Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran Music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
Christians are under attack, and our leaders in Washington have done nothing but make it worse.
But if we come together with that common vision, with that common faith, we will find common ground. And on that common ground, we will seek higher ground.
When you hear one of our opposing attorneys saying that you can't characterize any part of the human body as male or female, that's not law, that's not reason, that's not logic.
The Catholics, on the one hand, adopted some Lutheran or Reformation language about grace, but they had a warning for Roman Catholics. The way that we talk about it here isn't for you, it's for the Protestants.
Lutherans at the Old Latin School in Lutherstadt Wittenberg, love, issues, etc.
On this Veterans Day, a simple question. Is it appropriate for a nation to set aside a day to remember its soldiers, those who fight on her behalf, both present and past? You know, the church, as often as it gathers in the prayer of the church, in one way or another, prays for these people who work in dangerous occupations and defend us abroad. We're going to be talking about the vocations of soldier, military chaplain, and veteran. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Veterans Day. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Chaplain Harold Ristow will be our guest chaplain in the Canadian Armed Forces. We'll talk about those vocations. Then it's This Week in Pop American Christianity today. How the charismatic leaders explain their false prophecies about the election. Many of them said it would go one way, and it didn't. And they weren't just making predictions on the basis of political data. They were making predictions on the basis, they say, of a direct revelation from God. The Holy Spirit told me, they said. Pastor Chris Roseborough, Fighting for the Faith, will be our guest for that conversation. Then part two of our series on Psalms 1, 2, and 3 with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. Joining us to talk about the vocations of soldier, military chaplain, and veteran, Chaplain Harold Ristow, pastor in the Lutheran Church Canada, chaplain in the Canadian Armed Forces, and author of the book, At Peace with War, A Chaplain's Meditations from Afghanistan. Chaplain Ristow, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi, thank you very much. Pleased to be here.
First of all, make the case that it's proper for a country to set aside a day to remember those who have served in the armed forces and who are serving, like Remembrance Day there in Canada or Veterans Day here in the U.S.
Right. Now, we've been doing that for about 100 years since the end of World War I, and the purpose is to, you know, set a day, at least one day a year, where society can really reflect upon the fact that, you know, they're safer sleeping in their beds at night because of the tremendous sacrifice that our soldiers have made. You know, that there's always a price of, there's a cost to peace, and there's a lot of people that have willingly, you know, there's a lot that have willingly paid that price and deemed it worth, you know, freedom being, you know, worth the fight, essentially. And I think if you don't have a day, if you don't have time set aside, you know, it can easily escape the radar, and we just sort of live happily in our, you know, in our, you know, sort of sometimes bubble of North America, not realizing that there's a lot of sacrifices being made continually, you know, overseas, even as we speak, to make things better for us.
I know that you went into the service kind of with your eyes mostly wide open as to what it meant to be a soldier, the vocation of soldier, but I imagine many, many, many don't. They're doing it for all kinds of reasons. What is the vocation of soldier, and what is it that many people perhaps mistakenly think vocation of soldier is?
Well, I think vocation of soldier, you can't really disunite soldier from, you know, war. And, you know, there's a misconception that, you know, that people in the military are sort of pro-war, right? Nobody's pro-war, but what we realize is that to get to peace, we sometimes need to go to war, and so that's a necessary evil. And so the, you know, soldiers are the instruments of striving for that, you know, peaceful state. And so, yeah, you have people that might go in it for, you know, I guess there are probably those exceptions of people going in it for the wrong reasons. Maybe just even, you know, they think it's cool or even fun or, you know, but after their first deployment, I think it's a bit of a sink or swim situation. You've got to really reconcile at that moment, you know. You know, do I understand who and what I am? For me as a chaplain, I mean, when I see any soldier, Christian or non-Christian, I immediately just think of little Christs, you know, because of the fact that they are sacrificing their time away from home, they're sacrificing other careers, they're sacrificing, maybe jeopardizing a relationship or a marriage or something of the sort. And I immediately think of, you know, the grand monster, the immense price Christ paid for eternal peace, and here they are, tiny little Christs, sort of sacrificing for temporal peace. So when I meet soldiers, I try to explain that to them, you know, and that I think helps them sort of see themselves differently and understand that, whoa, this is a this is a unique vocation, but it's a necessary vocation, and there's a lot of consequences in all sorts of, you know, in all sorts of the realms of their lives, their families, their being fathers, their other vocations. There's consequences all over the place, you know, once they sort of, you know, sign up to serve. I know that the question of vocation and soldier had come up even you know, back in the Reformation days, you know, with Luther, you know, wrote a piece, you know, something along the line of why soldiers too can be saved, because you had sort of that movement of people thinking, and you still find it in society today, that think, well, that's sort of, you know, dirty, that's sort of unholy, you know, that's beneath being Christian. You know, Christians don't do that. That's war, that's killing, that's, but for us as Lutherans and Martin Luther, approached that question very differently. You know, it's a dirty job that somebody's got to do, and because it's a necessary job, because it's a necessary evil, so to speak, in order to maintain order and good order in society, by virtue of that, it is good and it is holy. So soldiers are instruments of God, albeit in a very unique place, doing some very tough business, but nevertheless, they're instruments of God. And I think Luther might have made the case, or at least suggested in that work, that it's not just a vocation to be tolerated, but that actually, according to Luther, he suggests that Christians make the best soldiers, that they're, by virtue of being those tools, a godly tool, you know, there's a Christian way of being a soldier, that really, as a person of God, that makes them better at what they do than somebody that may not quite understand why, or may have had wrong reasons for joining, or may not quite understand what it is to actually be a soldier and to practice a profession of arms.
Now, when someone says, when we hear that word soldier, we do think battlefield, we do think violence, we do think, as you said, war. But that actually, except for at the time of combat, for a lot of soldiers, is a pretty far away reality. The discipline's still there, training's still there, but they're not always getting shot at, so to speak. Talk about that.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you've got, and the difference between a soldier and a veteran, I suppose, is that all veterans are soldiers, but not all soldiers are veterans. So, so before one deploys, so basically goes into the battlefield, fights in a war or a battle, they go through a lot of training, sometimes years of training, and yeah, it's sort of at that stage that you'll have maybe mixed motives in terms of what it means to be a soldier, or not really grasping the reality of what you're going to be required to do as a soldier. It's one thing to shoot at a target. It's another thing to another human being. And so you become a veteran when you actually go out in the battlefield and put your training into actual into an actual mission, apply to an actual mission, and then when you come back from that, I always tell people nobody comes back from war the same. Everybody comes back changed, just like any big event in our lives. It changes us, but it'd be hard pressed to find a bigger event than fighting in a war. At the end of the day, the reason the military exists is not just to train people, but to put them out in the battlefield. So, most people that get trained get deployed. And as chaplains, one of our jobs is to make sure that those who get deployed and are deployed are as best as they can be in their spiritually and in their headspace as well.
We're talking about the vocations of soldier, military chaplain, and veteran on this Friday, November the 11th, Veterans Day. Chaplain Harold Ristow is our guest. We're going to talk about that time when a soldier returns from combat wounded in one way or another. Stay tuned. Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us.
The 500th anniversary of the Reformation approaches. A good time to ask, who are we as Confessional Lutherans? What's our heritage? The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission has produced the Layman's Guide to Theological History. Go to the clcc.org and see which of these presentations and books would be most helpful to you and your fellow parishioners. And consider becoming a member with us as the CLCC seeks to help more people know what it means to be a Confessional Lutheran. TheCLCC.org.
Theology for Blue Collar, White Collar, and Clerical Collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Zion Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. St. Paul's Lutheran, Long Beach, California. All Saints Lutheran, Charlotte, North Carolina. Redeemer Lutheran, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Shepherd of the Lake Lutheran, Garrison, Minnesota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri. And Holy Cross Lutheran, St. Genevieve, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. Journal. IssuesETC.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Veterans Day, we're talking about the vocations of soldier, military chaplain, and veteran with Chaplain Harold Ristow. Chaplain, talk about that time. You were talking about it before the break, when the soldier, it kind of clicks in for them what this vocation may actually cost them in terms of injury. Some of them return injured in one way or another. Talk about that.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's all sorts of different kinds of wounds. We automatically think of physical wounds, being in a hospital. More and more, we're understanding the psychological wounds. We used to call them shell shock. But there's psychological damage. Sometimes we'd say soldiers come back. I mean, not all of them, but sometimes they come back with what we call moral injury, or used to be called spiritual injury. Questions that, being in a combat, your worldview sometimes shifts around, and trying to figure out who God is, who I am. Your buddy gets injured or killed, and sometimes what we call combat guilt. Why was it him and not me? Feeling guilty that, you know, you did well, but maybe he didn't. The conflicts within vocations, the fact that you might be a husband and a father, and yet so you hug your wife, you hug your kids, but then you're also a soldier and you've got to shoot people. But you don't shoot your kids and your wife, obviously, but you also don't hug your, you know, your enemy out in the battlefield, right? So trying to reconcile those different hats and responsibilities within your vocations, how to reconcile those different responsibilities are things that really hit the soul and hit, you know, hit the mind. So sometimes there's some of those psychological, moral, spiritual injuries. They also, you know, being away from family for long periods of time, even in a training situation, a lot of unstable marriages. You've got to really be a strong couple to have a really strong spouse to be able to sort of keep the fort in order when the military member's deployed. Sometimes the temptation's too big for the spouse to remain committed, or the husband comes back and he's changed. They've missed that year away. Children feel like they're you miss key moments with your kids, and then your kids don't realize that it's not personal, but there's resent, and you can never get those key precious time with family back. So all of that are the I think a lot of times, yeah, the guys with the physical wounds, that's a hard thing. But there's a real sympathy and compassion in society when you see a veteran, a guy without a leg, let's say. These other kind of wounds are more hidden, and they manifest themselves in more subtle ways. And sometimes it's not society's fault or anything, but sometimes it's harder to not only to detect those sorts of wounds, but also to, you know, appreciate that they are actually war wounds, and the difficult challenge of navigating, with the veteran, and you know, how do we support our troops when they come home in light of all of those, so the consequences and the sacrifices they've made manifested in those other sorts of wounds.
Talk about the kind of essential to the vocation of soldier is to have an enemy. You may not even be able to see him, but you're the guy who has to deal with him on behalf of others.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, now I'm not sure if I'm answering your question right, but I'll try here, or if I can sort of. This is what I think you're asking, really, is that, you know, your enemy, when you're a soldier and you're out in the battlefield, I mean, I'll have guys that'll say, you know, they feel really guilty because they've had to, you know, kill, right? And yet the way I'll move that conversation is to say, you know, actually we're all guilty as humanity because of sin, the sin of the world, you know, we're all equally guilty for the mess we've made of this world. The difference is, you know, grandma's at home on the sofa and she doesn't even know there's necessarily a war going on. And yet you're on the front line and you see that enemy, you see that, and you're the one that has to take that person down, and you feel those personal, you feel that as your own personal guilt. And so the enemy is a communal enemy, and yet, you know, it's only the soldier behind the trigger that really, you know, feels it and sort of, you know, is the sacrifice, I guess. He bears the consequences. Now in terms of a Christian soldier is going to have a lot more tools on sort of, working out that question of vocation of killing or the legalized use of violence. Not only the fact that, you know, knowing Christ forgives them, we repent again as a society. Every Remembrance Day when I do a prayer, I always ask that the Lord would forgive us for our communal sin and turn the hearts of our enemies, to the truth and all that. But as a Christian soldier, they also have the sort of, I guess the, you think of the Old Testament with the way the Lord sort of ex- instructed the people of God to go to war, and he'd said, "Don't go and fight wars like the pagans. It's a profession of arms. Don't rape and steal and all that sort of thing. It's not personal. You've got to go in, and like a surgeon, cutting out the cancer. It's not personal. You just go in and eliminate it and get rid of it. And so for soldiers to go in and just eliminate the problem, minimize suffering, Luther would probably say, make sure a Christian soldier is going to do his best to make sure it's a good shot. Pray for your enemy as he's going down. Pray for that the enemy would, believe on Christ. There's a way as Christians that we conduct warfare, that recognizes that when we win a battle, when we beat our enemy, this is a happy day, but it's still a sad day. A Good Friday it's not Happy Friday, it's Good Friday. It was a necessary evil. Christ died for our sins, but it was still a dark day. I think we can see that in the Old Testament with David and Solomon. God says, David, you've got to go in and fight that war and get rid of the enemy. And yet, he does it successfully, and yet God says, but your hands are bloody. Solomon needs to build the temple. And that's sort of, I love that sort of comparison, because I say to guys, that kind of shows the grayness, that God understands what it means to have to be the instrument of war or using violence for a greater good, and yet it's not like God's like smiling and all filled with he's all rejoicing in the suffering of others, although he always uses suffering for good, but recognizing again that this needs to be done, but there's a holy and godly way of doing it. And so I guess back to the enemy bit, that's how we love our enemies. We do what needs to be done, but there's a loving Christian way of doing it.
As a chaplain, why are you there?
Well, as a chaplain, a lot of people think chaplains are here to kind of provide religious services, and we at the very least do that. But as a Canadian chaplain, we're not quite don't have as much religious interest as maybe you, our brothers and sisters down south. I probably only spend maybe 5% of my time involved with like actually religious services and blessings and public prayers and all that. Most of the time, we're seen as supporters or enablers of our soldiers. So, in other words, when guys are, when our members are spiritually, they're better at what they do when they're spiritually good to go, when they're spiritually connected, when their families are strong, when the mind, the headspace is good, and spirituality wraps up, it impacts all of those sorts of spheres. So, I'd spend a lot of time on counseling, problem solving, when it comes to individuals, soldiers, individuals, crisis intervention. Sometimes guys don't come necessarily. They're looking more for a social worker, and we're the closest thing they might, be in touch with. But it becomes apparent pretty quick in my experience that they want more than just sort of a secularized counseling. A lot of times they're looking for, they get that there's a faith issue. They get that, when you have a wrong view of a human being, oftentimes you have a wrong view of God and vice versa, people being made in God's image. And so as a chaplain, try to help fix a problem, but then bring it to a deeper level, questions of faith, God, religion, spirituality. Most people I meet would consider themselves spiritual, but they'll say, yeah, there's a God, but we don't know who he is, and he's sort of removed from our lives and that, but at least it's a start. The other thing that I find intriguing is that more and more I find soldiers want to talk to me about the question of vocation of soldier. I remember one guy saying, hey, chaplain, people think we're killers. Well, what do you think? What does God think? Does he judge us that way? And I hear that rephrased, but from the lips of many, many people, there is still that stigma out there that, you're sort of a, only a monster could do that. Police officers essentially do it in a different environment, but there's not as much stigma with a police officer. But for soldiers, it's still sort of, you know, it's support our troops, hooray, hooray. But, you know, when it comes to, you know, marrying your daughter off to someone, it's not that, you know, that's going to be your first pick. And, you know, so in other words, there's that stigma. So being a chaplain is being able to affirm these guys in what they do, that this is hugely important. It's a blessed thing. God blesses them and smiles upon them, you know. And there's a way that they can do this in a humble, repentant way, you know, sort of, again, I use the word sacrifice over and over again. You know, they're living sacrifices, you know. And so as a chaplain, I guess what I can say is a lot of times, even if I'm not even saying anything, just being with these guys out in the battlefield kind of reaffirms sort of that sense that, you know, it's not just, we're not just being tolerated, but this is a, you know, as strange as it might sound, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing to be a soldier. And only a mature Christian who gets the complexity of the world and, you know, the world that we live in can really, really understand, you know, what that means. And you'll only understand what that means when you can also say, you know, Good Friday was beautiful, you know. And if you don't, if you can't say Good Friday was beautiful, and really, when you unpack that, it's going to be hard to understand when a chaplain says it's a beautiful thing to be a soldier.
Chaplain Harold Rustow is our guest. He's pastor in the Lutheran Church Canada and chaplain in the Canadian Armed Forces, author of the book At Peace with War, A Chaplain's Meditations from Afghanistan. We're talking about the vocations of soldier, military chaplain, and veteran. When we come back, the difference between soldier and veteran. Stay tuned. In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues, etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc. and you.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Yes, there is a Messiah in Seattle. Messiah Lutheran Church and Concordia Lutheran School have served North Seattle for over 60 years, and we invite you to join us on Sunday mornings at 8 and 10:45 with Bible study at 9:20. Messiah Seattle is proud to support Issues, etc. To learn more, watch our adult information class videos online or on DVD. Our website is messiahseattle.org, 206-524-0024.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.
At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer.
apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology. Concordia University, Wisconsin is committed to lifelong Lutheran learning. They offer 50 online educational options for an associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree. Find out more by clicking the Concordia University, Wisconsin online logo at issuesetc.org. Be sure to enter the program code ISSUES and they'll waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin online. We're talking about the vocations of soldier, military chaplain, and veteran with Chaplain Harold Ristow. He's pastor in the Lutheran Church Canada, chaplain in the Canadian Armed Forces, and author of the book At Peace with War, A Chaplain's Meditations from Afghanistan. Chaplain Ristow, what's the difference then between the vocations of soldier and veteran?
Well, I guess the fact that, you know, the fact that these are, every veteran is a wounded hero, okay? Because they've gone over, everyone that comes back is a hero, and everyone that comes back has been wounded in some sense, all right? Maybe wounded is too strong of a word, depending on what they were doing over there. Not everyone that, you know, not all military personnel are soldiers. There's a lot of supporters, right? But they've sacrificed, you know, a lot of other things in life to do those things. So I see them all as heroes, and the fact that they're changed, you know, they're wounded. So vocation of a veteran would be, you know, living that in society. I mean, they're sort of living reminders of the cost of peace and freedom, you know, as a Christian, I see, you know, when I pray that when people see them, you know, in uniform and know where they've been, they make the connection of how much greater, you know, they're a little, you know, silent witness of the greater sacrifice of Christ, our soldier, what he's done for us and for the sins of the world on the cross. You know, I mean, not everyone makes that connection between a veteran and, you know, and Christ, but they're really those reminders of that cost of peace. They're educators. I always encourage our vets to, you know, share their stories with those around them, especially children. I mean, the wisdom they have. A lot of people in North America, they live within sort of, again, the bubble of first world, and things are first world problems. You know, cell phone doesn't work, and, you know, our world falls apart, you know. Well, our vets have seen, you know, they've seen what, you know, world is like outside of that bubble, and the tools they bring back for the rest of society are really invaluable. The wisdom they bring back, they're like a Christian missionary or something. You're missionaries overseas, having that exposure. So the perspective that a Christian soldier can come back, a Christian veteran can bring, is really just, you know, gold. The problem is they're often shy to talk. It can often be hard to talk. A lot of times people want to forget, you know, and so we back home, you know, have to try to think of ways that we can, you know, support them and sort of utilize that wisdom without, you know, wanting to hear war stories for all the wrong reasons. The other thing is, again, you know, they talked about some of those other, you know, some of that other, those wounds that they may have, you know, whether it be physical or mental wounds. And again, used to be, we called it, you know, PTSD, but they changed. I remember hearing someone talking about it being PTS growth or something, post-traumatic growth. But anyway, turning the idea that, you know, you're sort of maybe damaged from your experiences in certain places of the world, to saying, well, here's an opportunity to grow. You know, here's an opportunity for communities to grow, for one, you know, for us to learn from each other, you know, and all that. So I guess that would be the difference with a veteran versus a soldier who hasn't, you know, been overseas, is that they're this source of this knowledge of wisdom. And I think that, you know, it's unfortunate that we're not harnessing that as much as we could because of, again, a lot of misunderstanding of what soldiers do, questions of vocation, a lot of taboo subjects, stigma. I'll put a plug in for your organization for issues, et cetera. The fact that to have a transparent conversation on some of these questions, you know, is the first step of moving forward, saying, hey, you know what, like, you know, this is, hey, we learn, let's learn, you know, from what we've experienced in life. I mean, the Lord says, you know, he'll turn everything bad into something good for those who love them. Well, got a ton of veterans who love the Lord, and, you know, here's a way that God turns a lot of those, you know, sad, negative, dark experiences into good by sharing how God was at work over there, how God's continuing to be at work in the lives of our vets and their families, and all that kind of thing. So that's it's a good question. You know, what is a veteran vocation? I'd probably need more time to really think through that. Never thought of that question. That is a really good one. But anyway, that's all I can really rattle off the top of my head on that one at the moment.
But before we let you go, Chaplain, what impact did your tours of duty in Afghanistan have on your Christian faith and upon the soldiers that you were able to serve?
Yeah, I guess, you know, I once said to some venue where I'd said something, there's a bunch of soldiers that were hesitant to reach out to, you know, a pastor or chaplain with some issues they were dealing with because they see you as sort of, you know, you're like the doctor, you know, and they're the patient, and, you know, how can you understand, you know, what they've gone through or whatever, you know? And I sort of said, you know, the best thing that a chaplain brings to the table is that, you know, we've got our own wounds, and the wounds of one spill into the wounds of another, and that's probably the best healing medicine. And I'm thinking, you know, when I said something, I can't remember exactly how it all went down, but I said something along those lines, and I was obviously thinking of the blood of Christ, you know, and it's the blood of Christ that flows into the lives of others through our wounds. You know, we don't get a lot of consolation when you're having a hard time, and you're talking to someone and they're like, no, never had that happen to me. No, everything's great in my family. You know, everything's great in my life. Never been sick, you know, whatever. It's not a lot of consolation, right? But to be able to hear about someone else having some of those same struggles, that's, you know, and trying to navigate through some of those gray zones, and to be able to say, you know, brother, I get what you're going through or what you've gone through to some extent, and then they open up. So I think that's probably the best thing I can bring to the ministry is my own scars, I guess. And of course, you know, before you become a chaplain, you've got scars from other things. You get scars from your congregation and parish or, you know, life in general, whatever. But you don't necessarily have these kind of scars. And it's those kind of scars that resonate with soldiers who have scars that look pretty similar to that, if not identical.
Chaplain Harold Risto is pastor in the Lutheran Church Canada, chaplain in the Canadian Armed Forces, author of the book At Peace with War, A Chaplain's Meditations from Afghanistan. You can purchase this book at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Chaplain Risto, thank you very much for your time and for your service.
Oh, you're very welcome. May Christ's peace be with you all.
When we come back, we're going to be doing This Week in Pop American Christianity. Today, how charismatic leaders explain their false prophecies about the election. They said one thing would happen, and another thing happened. How can they still credibly claim direct revelation from God? Pastor Chris Rosebrough will be our guest. Does the gospel free you to do what you want? I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Better Than Good, Failed Attempts to Improve on the Gospel. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. You can also read Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer's Spiritual Journey from Roman Catholicism and American Evangelicalism to Confessional Lutheranism, the free online Issues Etc. journal.
Are you a homeschool parent looking for help teaching certain subjects? Or do you want your student to study the history, languages, and literature of Western civilization? Memoria Press Online Academy has live online classes with master teachers to help you. Their teachers have years of experience teaching, delighting, and moving students literally from all around the world. Your homeschool year doesn't have to be difficult. Visit MemoriaPressAcademy.com or call 877-745-8866.
Expert guests. Expansive topics. Extolling Christ. You're listening to Issues Etc.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
We would like to overlook the difficulty of daily repentance and death to our sins in the interest of progressing to a more advanced spirituality.
Rebecca Curtis from her new audiobook, Ladylike, Living Biblically.
Somehow, spiritual advancement always amounts to our getting to spend more time on the things we like and calling it stewardship or service.
You can purchase and download an audio version of Ladylike, Living Biblically at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. Ladylike, Living Biblically by Rebecca Curtis and Rose Adel.